Hello, this is Jim and Samantha. We pastor Abundant Life in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is a message from one of our services. We hope it inspires you, we hope it builds your faith, and we hope it helps you in your everyday life. Enjoy the message.
Now, if you have your Bible, I want to share a couple of scriptures with you, and the first one is in Jeremiah 29:11. I want to read this to you from the NIV, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now, this morning, you know, sometimes we read the Word of God and we say, that's good. But one of the things we need to understand is that God's Word is God's will for our lives. It was written for us. So one of the things I like to say sometimes is that the Word of God is God speaking to me. And so when we read that way, I want you to think about this morning. This verse is God speaking to you. And it says literally, declares the Lord. So he is speaking to us, right? And so think about it personally. This is what God says. "For I know the plans I have for you." So he has plans for you, right? He says, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So when we look at this verse, we see, number one, God has plans for us. Everybody say, God has plans for me. And then he says, not to harm you. God's in the business of blessing, helping, delivering, transforming, not harming. And then he says, God has plans to prosper you. So in other words, God wants us to prosper this coming year. He wants us to prosper. God has plans to prosper you and to give you hope and a future. You know, sometimes we confuse God with the enemy's work, but how many of you know you can do a lot of those things in reverse and see what the enemy wants to do, right? If God wants us to prosper, then the devil doesn't want us to. If God wants us to have hope, then the devil wants us disappointed. If God wants us to have faith, then the devil wants to instill fear, right? So it's always important for us to understand what God wants. And he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. Now, that means that God wants to do some things for me, right? He's going to prosper me. He's going to give me hope and a future. So there's things that he wants to do externally for me, but there's also some things that God wants to do internally. And here's the deal. Many times the things that God wants to do externally are contingent upon me cooperating with his internal work. Come on, somebody, that's deep right there. Sometimes we're praying for things on the outside, but God is wanting to do some on the inside before the outside can show up. Amen? Let's look at Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. God wants to do some things for us externally, but God wants to do some things in us internally. Notice what the Bible says in Philippians 1:6. It says, Paul was writing to the church, and he said, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we got some good things to think about here. God has plans for us. God wants to prosper us. God wants to give us hope in the future. And God says, being confident in this very thing, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So in other words, God began a good work in all of us. Now, what's interesting is that, notice he says, being confident in this very thing, that he who began a what? Good work. Everybody say good work. Good work where? In me. Okay, he began a good work in me. You know, when I read that word good, then I was reminded of God's original creation. Because when God created everything, what's the thing that he said over and over again? He made this and it was good. He made this and it was good. And then the pinnacle of his creation was man and woman. And then at the end in Genesis 1:31, after he had created man and woman, he says he looked at everything that he'd made, man and woman, and he said it is very good. So when we received Christ and became new creations in Christ, God began a good work in us, and it's a good work. God has a good work that he wants to do in us, for us, and through us in this world. Amen. Now, I like the, we read Philippians 1:6, but I want to read it to you in the Passion Translation. It says, I pray with great faith for you, because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this gracious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you until the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as everybody take a big breath. As long as you're doing that, God wants to continue to mature you. Right? And he says, I'm fully convinced that the God who started this good work of maturing in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. So tell your neighbor, God's working something in me, and it's good. God's working something good in you, and it's good. Amen. And so we've been talking about maximizing the moment, and we talked about three different things. We talked about, first of all, we are to learn from the past. Now, I intentionally use the word learn because I didn't say we are to live in the past. But sometimes people are captured both by their successes and their mistakes, and so they pitch their tent in the past instead of learning from it. Or being thankful for the good things, and then forgiving yourself for the bad things, and moving forward, right? And so I was reminded, you know, sometimes when we think about these things, we know what Paul said. He said, forgetting the things that are behind. So I believe there's some things we can thank God for this year that we did right. There's some things that we are excited about, some decisions that we made that took us forward. But there's also some mistakes that we made, and we need to let them stay in 2025. We need to let forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. You know, one of my favorite, I don't know if it's a Disney movie, but The Lion King is one of my favorite animated movies, right? I just like the names. First of all, you got Mufasa, Mufasa. That just sounds manly, doesn't it? That's Mufasa, right? Then you got Rafiki, right? Then you got Pumbaa, right? And all these different ones, but the monkey, I think, was named Rafiki, right? And so one time Simba was feeling bad because he had made some mistakes and some things like that. And so he takes a stick and he hits him in the head. Pump. He said, what'd you do that for? He said, well, it's in the past. He said, it still hurt. He says, well, what I've learned is it doesn't matter, but are you going to run from it or are you going to learn from it? Right? And so that's what we're saying. Learn from the past. Right? Take the good things that happen. Learn from them. Integrate them. So that we can experience more good in the future. Get rid of the bad things, right? Let God redeem them. Let God heal them so we can move forward. One of the awesome things about God is that even when we mess up, even when we miss the mark, even when we sin, even when we head down the wrong path, God can restore and help us redeem the time. You know, as I was looking at this, one of the scriptures we read in a previous session was Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time. Everybody say redeeming the time. Redeeming means to make the most of every opportunity that comes our way. So in our lives as we live, we're supposed to learn from the past, but we are to live in the present. And we live in the present by redeeming the time, which means to make the most of every opportunity that we have. Be present. You know, sometimes people, you know, the mistake parents can make sometimes, and we can all do this, I'm not saying it, is that, you know, when we think, well, you know, I'm ready to have kids. And so then you have kids, and then you think, when you start changing them diapers, you're like, man, I'm glad when they be done with them diapers. And then they get a little older, and then you'd be like, well, I'm glad when they get a little older. Then I'm glad when they get the license. Then I'm glad when they're in college, right? And the thing is if we're not careful, we're always looking forward to something instead of living in the present and enjoying the moments that we have, right? And so God wants us to live in the present. Everybody say live in the present. Now, God told us to redeem the time, which means to make the most of every moment. But what I've discovered is this, is that even when we mess up in the present, God can still redeem the time. Because the Bible says in Joel that God will restore what? The years that the cankerworm, the pommel worm, this type of thing destroyed. Okay? And what I've seen is that sometimes the enemy can come in and cause destruction, and it seems like things were stolen or things were wasted. And then sometimes the enemy didn't have to do too much because we did it to ourselves with bad decisions. But regardless of whether it's us or it's the enemy, God can redeem the time when we choose to live in the present and make the most of the moments that we have right now. See, when I'm redeeming the time, then God can restore what was lost. And God has a history of restoring what was lost. Right? Adam lost things in the beginning. What happened? God restored it. Job lost some things. Guess what? God restored it. God is a restoring God. God is a healing God. God's a delivering God. And even when we mess up, if we choose to make the most of every moment and redeem the time, then God's hand can work in our life. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, you don't know the mistakes I made. You don't know what I did. You don't know how I messed up. And all those types of things. But all you got to do is just a casual reading of the Bible, and you can find out that God is a redeeming God. Now, you think about Moses. What did Moses do? Moses was called by God. So what did he do? He killed somebody. But God redeemed his mistake and used him to deliver the children of Israel. Did he make a mistake? Yes. Did God redeem it? Yes. Right? And you can just go on down through the Bible. What about the Apostle Paul? He persecuted the church. He said out of his own pen, I worked to destroy the church of God. But the same God that he was trying to work against, when he turned to him, God redeemed him and used him to build churches and write much of the New Testament that we have and do great things for the kingdom of God. Amen. What about Peter? I love Peter. Now, Peter was one of those guys, man, he just jumps up, whatever, something comes on, I'll do it, I'm there, right? But it also got him into trouble, right? And you think about some of the things that he did, right? Well, one time when they were taking Jesus, you know, to the crucifixion, he just started cussing, right? And then he denied the Lord three times, right? I mean, he one of the primary disciples. Here he is cussing and denying the Lord. I don't know the man. Right? And then when they come to take him away, what did he do? He took out a sword and chopped off the servant of the high priest's ear. And Jesus had to heal it. Right? And you think about that. But what happened is that the mistakes that Peter made, God redeemed. And he used him to get up on the day of Pentecost and to share the gospel, and 3,000 people got saved. Thank God that God can redeem our mistakes. None of us have made a mistake that God cannot redeem. Whew. And you think about other people too. What about Rahab the harlot? Well, obviously she made some mistakes, right? But she decided to hide the spies, and God redeemed not only her, but her family. And so when we choose to do things right, it doesn't just affect us, but everybody connected to us. Amen. What about Jonah? Jonah ran from God, got swallowed by a big fish, whale, right? But God used Jonah, spit him up. I'm sure he needed a shower after that, right? Been in the belly of a whale, right? But he went and transformed the city. God's power transformed the city because of his obedience. Mary Magdalene, right? Name you may remember, but she was a woman, and the Bible says that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. But she became a devoted follower of Christ, and she was a witness of the resurrection. And so I'm so thankful that God can redeem our sins. Can I have an amen? He can transform our mess ups. He can redeem our mistakes. And so we can learn from the past. We can live in the present. And we talked about living in the present, but we talked about identifying areas that we can work on. Some of us, it's our attitude, right? How many of you know, I think we can all work on our attitude, right? All you got to do is drive in DFW traffic sometimes, and we know we can need some attitude work, right? Attitude, health, family, thinking, finances, faith, relationships, growth, your calling. But then we want to look to the future. So we learn from the past, live in the present, but look to the future. And that's what we talked about this morning was God says, I know the plans I have for you. What are plans for the future? Plans to prosper you and to give you hope in the future. Being confident is the very thing that he who began a good work in you will complete it. Both of those speak to what God wants to do in our life and in our church for the future. And God wants to do some great things in our life and in our church this year. I mean, we have some great things the Lord has given us for this year in terms of some of the Bible studies that are going to be transformational. Of course, we have church every week, but we got Bible studies. We're going to launch a video Bible school. We got a lot of things that God is going to use to do some things in us that's going to position us for what he wants to do through us. He wants us to grow. He wants our church to grow. He wants things to move forward in our life. He has plans to prosper us and to give us hope in the future. Amen. Now, what hinders us from looking forward? When we talk about looking forward, I'm not talking about looking forward in fear, but I'm talking about looking forward with hope and with faith in God and his word. But what are some of the things that hinders us? Well, I think two big things are fear. Fear hinders us. And also disappointments can hinder us from moving forward. We can be afraid. We don't want to move forward, right? Sometimes there can be a fear of failure. Sometimes it can be I've tried to do something, it didn't work out, so therefore I'm not expecting too much because I don't think things are going to change. And that's what the enemy uses to keep us stuck, right? When God says, I have plans to prosper you, to give you hope in the future, it doesn't matter the mess-ups that I've experienced. We got the supernatural power of God to help propel us forward if we'll take the steps of faith and hope, right? So how do we overcome fear and disappointments? Well, with faith in God and his word. And God has a history of redeeming situations. I mean, we talked about some of the people that God transformed, but I mean, what about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? They were in what? The fiery furnace? That qualifies as a challenge, right? But God delivered them from their situation. And that was not even a situation that they did something wrong, right? But God redeemed them. See, sometimes things happen in life, not because we're doing something wrong, but because we're doing something right. But God redeemed them, and he redeemed them so powerfully. The Bible says that not only was not a hair singed. Now, this is probably a little bit too much information, but I got a grill at my house, and sometimes I've cooked, and I had the temperature so hot when I went to flip something over there, it singed the hairs on my arm. Right? So I'm just close to it. And that's what it did to me. These three guys were in it and nothing happened to their hair. Not only were they not burned, any part of them, their clothes, their hair, their eyebrows, nothing. Right? But the Bible says they didn't even smell like smoke. So that means God can bring you out of something catastrophic and people will never even know. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. He brought Daniel out of the lion's den. He brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He brought Jonah out of the belly of the whale. He brought Joseph out of the prison. I don't think your situation is any problem for God. Amen. Now, we got faith and we got fear. But here's the deal. Faith and fear grow the same way. It's based on what you fixate on. So if I fixate on my problem, then my fear grows. If I fixate on his promise, then my faith grows. So if I fixate on my problem, then my fear grows. If I fixate on his promise, then my faith grows. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I got to focus on his promise. And that's why the Bible tells us in Colossians to fix your mind on things above. Fix your mind on the promises of God. Fix your mind on what God says. Fix your mind on how good God is. Fix your mind on the fact that God is a deliverer. Right? If I fix my mind on his word, then faith grows in my life. The Message translation of Colossians 3, I quoted it to you, but it says, set your mind. One says, fix your mind on things above. What are things above? His promises. Colossians 3, 2 in the Message says this, don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground. Right? Absorbed with the things right in front of you. What's it saying? Don't look at your problems. Right? I'm not ignoring the problem, but I'm looking to the solution to the problem, which is God. He says, look up, be alert to what is going on in Christ. That's where the action is. See things. Notice this. The Message says this. See things from his perspective. See things from his perspective. See, when you operate in his perspective, things change. Think about it just for a moment. You know, when the disciples were on the boat with Jesus, and all of a sudden they had this storm, and they were, we're going to die. Wake up the master. Jesus was sleeping. They were freaking out. So they wake him up. Wouldn't you like to be there to see how they woke him up, exactly how they were dealing with that situation? Right? Well, they woke him up, but did he take on their panic? No. He rebuked the wind and the storm. He said, peace be still. He didn't speak what he saw. He spoke what he wanted. And he brought peace into a traumatic situation. See, when God's inside of you, you can show up in a situation and bring peace because peace lives in you. Right? And so why did Jesus do that? Because he saw from God's perspective, not by looking down and looking at what was around him. Amen? Now, the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more hope and faith will be stirred in your life. That's why church is important. That's why Bible study is important. That's why reading the Word is important, because it builds faith in you, inside of you. And sometimes I don't need a good dose of faith today, but I will need it. See, I don't put deposits in the bank sometimes because I need it tomorrow, but I'll need it down the road. And so when I'm investing the Word of God into my life, I'm building faith, I'm building hope inside of me. So when a challenge comes and adversity comes, I can make a withdrawal of the faith that I've put inside of me. Right? Now, let's look at Psalms 33. Psalms 33. The Bible repeatedly tells us to have hope and hope in God and his help. The Bible even says, this is powerful. The Bible even says that God's eyes are looking for and watching for those who reverence and hope in him. Think about that for a second. When I hope in God and his word, hope doesn't mean just wishful thinking. It means a confident expectation. So when I have a confident expectation in God that he's going to work in my life, that means that his eyes are on me to perform what I'm believing for. Notice what the Bible says in Psalms 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. That means when I place my faith, no, his eye is on who? Those who hope in his mercy. His eye is on who? Those who hope, have a confident expectation in his mercy. You know what's powerful about that? See, mercy means undeserved favor. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. But it means he wants to give it to me anyway. And so when I have hope in his mercy, that means I don't have to do everything just 100% right, but God looks over that and sees my heart. He sees my faith. And when I place that in him, his eyes are on me to perform what he said. The Bible says his eyes look to and fro to show himself strong on behalf of those who are faithful and loyal and have their hope in him. Amen. Confident expectation. And we all face times in life when we need a good dose of hope. We experience the loss of a job, a missed opportunity, a broken relationship, a financial setback. Maybe we get a bad report from the doctor. is during those times we have to focus our faith and hope in the Lord, not our circumstances, not what we see. We walk by faith and not by sight. He is our help. Let's go to Psalms 42, verse 5. The writer of Psalms had to practice exactly what I'm talking to you about this morning. He had to remind himself to hope in the Lord because his mind was being attacked by his circumstances. His emotions were being affected by his circumstances, and he had to get a hold of himself because he felt like he was going crazy. And listen to what he said in Psalms 42, verse 5. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" That says to me that his soul was giving him trouble. His mind, his will, his emotions was giving him trouble. He says, "Why are you disquieted? Why are you cast down? Why are you neglected? Why are you discouraged?" And then notice what he says next. "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, for the help of his countenance." So in other words, when my mind is going crazy, I'm going to hope in him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to lift up his name because he is my help. He's my deliverer. He's a strong tower that I can run to in times of stress and problems. Now, what's interesting is that we can often choose to focus our thoughts on the promises of God. We can resist the enemy's thoughts, just like he did in this passage. We can say, you know what? I'm choosing. We got problems. We got stress. We got different things going. Our mind is going. Suggestions and thoughts and feelings are coming to us. And then we say, you know what? No, 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 no. Why are you cast down on my soul? I'm going to trust in God. God's word says this. I resist fear. I resist this. And I stand on the word of God. And we do that. And we're good for about 3 seconds. And then those thoughts come back. That's exactly what happened to him. Notice verse 11. He repeats the exact same phrase. "Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him, for he is my help and the countenance of my God." He's the help of my countenance. He's my help. Everybody say, he's my help. See, just because you resist one time doesn't mean you're not going to have to resist again. When Jesus was tempted, what did he say? "It is written. It is written. It is written." When you say "it is written" long enough, he goes. You may say "it is written," and he'll challenge you again to see if you really believe what you're standing on. But Jesus said, "It is written. It is written. It is written." And the Bible says the devil left him. Amen. Now, let me share some keys with you to look into the future and hope and faith. Number one, I kind of mentioned this, but let me just give it to you in a couple bullet points as we get ready to close. But number one, feed on the promises of God, especially the ones dealing with the issue that you're facing. If you're facing an issue about knowing if God has a plan and purpose for your life or what he wants to do with your life, then you need to get a hold of verses like we shared in the beginning, Jeremiah 29, like God has plans for you, plans to prosper you and to give you hope in the future. That's God's will for my life. Yes, it's God's will for my brothers and sisters beside me, but it's God's will for my life. And maybe it's healing. Maybe you need healing. Get healing scriptures inside of you. Maybe it's finances. Get financial scriptures inside of you, right? Get those inside of you. Feed on the promises of God. I believe it was Lester Sumrall that says, "Feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death." Feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. And then resist the temptation. Number two, resist the temptation to yield to fear and depression. The Bible says in Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Well, where does it come from? Not from God. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So when you feel fear, come and resist it. You can speak to it in the name of Jesus. I refuse to fear. God is my strength. God is my help. God is my deliverance. If God be for me, who can be against me? Right? Resist the temptation to fear and to be discouraged. Do what David said. "Why are you cast down? I put my hope and faith in God. I will yet praise him. He's my help and he's my deliverance." And then do what the psalmist said. Hope in God. Praise him. And another thing we can do is make every, when the enemy tries to bring fear or discouragement, then flip that and make a confession of faith. So in other words, if the enemy comes and says, well, you know, you feel that, you probably got something in your body. No, you know what? The Bible says, by his stripes, I'm healed. The Bible says, you know, no doors can go up. No. Mm-mm. Revelation says God opens doors for me that no man can close. He's working to open doors for me. He's working to give me favor. So take the enemy's negativity and flip it into what God says and make it a confession of faith. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 10:23. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Listen to this. For he who promised is faithful. If I hold fast to my confession, see, the enemy's going to try to get you to question your confession. But if I hold fast to my confession, I can hold fast to it. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. And we have a Bible full of promises. And God wants to prosper us and to give us hope in a future. But we have to believe that, get faith inside of us, confess the word of God, recognize that anything that tries to produce fear in me is not from God. Anything that tries to produce negativity or discouragement or depression inside of me is not from God. Then I have to resist it. When I can resist it, when I stand in faith, I can be just like David says, I'm going to hope. I'm going to put my trust in God. I put my faith in him, and he is faithful, that promise. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We encourage you to share this message with your family and friends. Please check us out on our website at abundantchurch.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.